What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
We are inching closer to the All-Star break in the National Hockey League. It ends Wednesday. Well, the season pre-All-Star break season ends on Wednesday, a couple of games, and then they break till Monday. And the festivities in Toronto, I was saying this earlier on today, this is Saturday as we're doing this, Pucks in 7. I was saying it's a little bit different coming from the warmth of Florida for the All-Star game to Toronto. But at the same time, it's something about having an All-Star game and All-Star festivities in Toronto.
Absolutely. And also, it's winter and this is a winter sport. And we live in and around Toronto. Yeah. I don't think that's a secret to anybody. And it's been really mild here as well. So it's not like this shock that these players are going to be leaving their homes in Anaheim and Arizona and Florida and coming up here and it's minus 40 Fahrenheit. That's not what we're dealing with right now. It's quite comfortable. Downtown Toronto will be quite comfortable. It is one of the hockey hotbeds. Sorry, I know a lot of other cities don't like the attention
but it is true.
Yeah. I mean, the mood of the city of Toronto often swings on how well or poorly the Toronto Maple Leafs are faring.
Right.
And there's a lot of other markets in North America that cannot say that. So now that I've alienated 95% of our listenership, let's move on with the podcast.
Pucks in 7. We're back.
Maybe just with Ryan Payton today.
Yeah, I don't know how else to segue into that one. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. We'll go west in a bit. We did west first last time. We're going to go east this time. Speaking of west, we'll talk Nate MacKinnon. A nice race with Kucherov for the scoring lead, maybe the MVP as well. Corey Perry back for Edmonton. Will they lose again? They go for 16 today. And also, we'll congratulate Gary Bettman, the commissioner, as well. Longest tenured commissioner in history, which is unbelievable. Anyway, incident this week. Hate to always raise this and see this happen in any sport, specifically the NHL. It's the hit to the head. It's the elbow to the head. And it happened this week. Montreal and New York. Brendan Gallagher on Adam Pellick. Pellick out. This is the same guy who had missed 21 games last season with a concussion. Gallagher suspended 5 games. I have my thoughts. I want to swing it over to you first.
Oh, I said I've done another 2 hits before this one on Saturday afternoon after the suspension. First of all, as soon as we heard that it was a telephone call hearing instead of in person, you
knew
the max was 5.
Problem number one.
I wanted 7 at minimum. So obviously I'm unsatisfied with this. And I'm going to... I'll say this first. I'm actually a Brendan Gallagher fan. I've liked him as a player for a long time. I have a little bit of a soft spot for the smaller players in the league who I think have to do a little bit extra. Okay. I think he has often served as the heart and soul of that Montreal Canadiens team when they have not played their best. Mm-hmm. I've always sort of liked the guy. I know he's a little bit of a pest. I mean, he's sort of like a Brad Marchand light.
Yep.
In my mind, but
not as much skill.
This is not something that we've seen from him per se. He's a veteran of the league. He knows better than to do this. Well, first, I was actually watching it live. I was watching the end of that game because it was Patrick Roy's return to Montreal when this happened. So I was paying attention to it as it was. Saw it unfold in real time. First shock, then anger. Then I was a little bit upset. I think anybody watching it would be a little bit upset. Then I was sent back, so maybe a little bit of PTSD, back to the good old days of Scott Stevens knocking people out left, right, and center. And exactly. Remember Paul Kariya?
Yep.
Remember Eric Lindros?
Yep.
This is what this looked like to me. It was the open ice.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely unnecessary. You came in my lane, so I'm going to elbow you right in the head. Yeah. Now, Pellick is not going to be in as bad shape, I'm going to guess, as Lindros or Kariya, even though with the history of the concussion, because Gallagher is 5'9" and weighs $175 soaking wet. He's not
He still went straight up with
that elbow. Absolutely. Yeah. Just imagine, though, Ryan, if he had another 40 pounds of muscle on him,
I understand.
Think this would probably be worse.
Yeah,
but that's not the point.
No.
Absolutely not the point. No. The point is, you can't do this. If the league wants to send a real message, a real, real message to everybody in the league, you can't target the head. You can't go in there. This was no shoulder. This is not the debate we've had about other hits earlier this season. This was an absolute deliberate. Nobody on the Canadiens bench said boo. Martin St. Louis said nothing. Gallagher just left because everybody knows he did a very bad thing.
Completely dirty. I'm tired of hearing if the NHL, this isn't, I'm tired of hearing this from you. I'm tired of hearing the narrative of if the league wants to send a message, they have to do this. I've heard that for so many years. If I was part of the DOPS, I'm not going to put them under the bus. But number one, to me, it should have been at least 10. At least 10. I would always err on the side of let's give them more than probably they deserve because we just got to keep the bar a little bit higher than what it normally is at. There, when I saw to your point about it being a phone hearing, I thought, are you kidding me? So he's not going to get more than 5 games for that? And this is not a play, as you said you saw it. I didn't see it live. But this was not a play where it was in the corner, where they were battling for a puck, where there was some, you know, physicality. This was a predatory attack. I'll say that. Because Gallagher had eyes only on Pellick, wasn't trying to get the puck whatsoever, and he knocked him right flat to the ground. It was a disgusting play. And the fact that it was 5 games, I'm sorry. The NHL got it wrong. The DOPS, I'm going to throw them under the bus. They did get it wrong. They did. And tell me what message that is. So say you and I were playing. I know we're going on with this, but this is fine. Say you and I were playing and I was playing against you. And say you and I played against each other 2 weeks from now. I did the same thing. I say, you did the same thing to me. Let's just do that.
It doesn't matter. It can go either
way. Exactly the same play. You would expect, if you got more than 5 games, you would go back and say, hold on a second. This was exactly the same thing as Leso. Why did you give him 5 and why did you give me more? That's where the problem is. He needs hits like that at least 10 games. No discussion.
Well, we're in agreement. So he's just hoping that Pellick is going to come out of this okay. Here's hoping that, you know, we see a few, even though we saw a similar hit again on Friday from Jacob Trouba, and we'll get to that in a little bit. I mean, different, same, but different, right? So it's, let's hope Pellick is going to be okay for now. And I don't know. I don't know how to change it. I don't know. I mean, here's somebody actually on the interweaves brought this up, and I thought it was quite interesting. And they said, you know, the NHLPA has the power to appeal suspensions on behalf of a player. You know, they represent them and they say, okay, 10 is too much. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should knock it down to 7 or 8, something like that. Mm-hmm. So, but the NHLPA also represents Adam Pellick.
Yeah.
So why would they not go and appeal the suspension and say, you know what, our player got hurt and he has issues with it now. The suspension should be higher. It never works. You're representing both players.
Right.
And it never works the other way. I thought that was very interesting.
Let's go into the Trouba. We were going to go to Samsonov, but it makes sense to segue into the Trouba. The elbow on Pavel Dorofiev, and it was off the faceoff. And Trouba is a very big boy. So I was just picturing what you said about Pellick. Say Trouba came at him like that. My goodness, who knows what would have happened to Pellick. Anyway, Trouba's been in this position before. There's been different things that he's gone through, and the stick swinging incident earlier on this season as well, which I thought was, I don't know, I thought that was a complete miss as well. What did you make of this one? They were just fighting for the puck quickly, and Trouba's known for this, but he's a very big boy. I think there was something wrong with it. I don't think it was as bad as I've seen before.
Oh, no. I don't think it was even, I'm not going to say a fraction as bad because that's ridiculous. No. How do you measure that? But to me, this is not a tomato.
Okay.
It isn't. It was a different situation because right now, if Jacob Trouba did exactly what Brendan Gallagher did, that would be an in-person hearing and he would be suspended for a long period of time. Because again, the history is different between the two players. This is also a telephone hearing as far as I understand. It was determined this morning that Trouba is also getting a telephone hearing. He's going to get something. I feel sorry for the young Vegas kid more than anything else. I still think you have to be responsible for your body. I just don't think it is exactly the same thing. Right. He's going to be suspended, but it's not going to be 5 games. It'll probably be, I don't know, 3, 2, 3, perhaps.
Maybe. Yeah. I also don't like the narrative of the history of somebody. Because Trouba has more of a history than Gallagher. Trouba would have gotten more because of the history. It doesn't matter. Whatever happens in that moment, that should be indicative of the suspension. Who cares if you hit people 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
Well, because it mimics the criminal justice system. If you're a repeat offender, you're going to get a more severe sentence the next round.
I understand. I get it. Good point. I've always been bothered by that.
You can also make the same argument. Well, he wasn't hurt or he was hurt. The victim was hurt or the victim wasn't.
That also gets me going too.
That I'm with you on.
That gets me going. It doesn't matter if they can walk up or not.
Yeah. You lucked out because the guy you elbowed in the head feels fine.
Right.
Like, that's good news. I'm glad that the guy who was elbowed in the head feels fine. Yeah. But that should not benefit you in terms of your punishment.
No.
Right? That doesn't make any sense to me either. Whatever. It should be the act. Yeah. Right? The act itself is what should be punished.
We're agreeing too much. Actually, no, we didn't really agree with the whole criminal thing. You were talking about that, which does make sense. That's a very good point. Okay, let's move on. Really cool moment. Ilya Samsonov, we've talked about this. Doesn't matter if you like the Leafs or not. You pull for a guy who really was down and out in October, has not had a good season. Mentally, it's been extremely tough for him. He stole the show against the Winnipeg Jets the other night, stopped a 2-on-0. Number one, how does that happen? And two, how does it happen shorthanded? Anyway, whatever, we can get to that at another point. Here is Ilya Samsonov. When he was named the first star after that game and just what it meant to him.
How I say it, you know, like I almost cry, you know, like it's all the time is fans, it's loud, you know, like it's important for me, you know, like a long time I didn't listen to this, and this is huge, you know, like thank you again for all the fans.
You said this before we came on, you just got to cheer for this guy.
I don't think you need to be a Leafs fan. I don't think you need to be a fan of goaltenders. I don't think you need to be anyone. You're going to root for this guy. He's easy to root for. He wears the pain on his face so vividly in the first place. I think last podcast we were talking, I just want to give the guy a hug. I still just want to give him a hug.
Yeah, me too.
I was rooting really hard for him that particular game against the Jets and rooting for the Leafs to score, to give him the cushion, to give him the victory. I didn't even care about the shutout, not in the second or early third. Then you start to care about the shutout once it starts, you know, moving in that direction. But in the first place, rooting really hard for the guy. He obviously he's in anguish. He is putting in all this work. He's taking absolutely nothing for granted.
Yeah.
And to see the lack of scoring support, again, I watched that game, and the Maple Leafs in the first period were awful. Capital A, awful, 4 shots on net. And they got better throughout the game, but they were really, really bad. As for the 2-on-9.
I mean, really? And did you see Keefe after look down at his bench because Matthews changed and Marner changed? He basically, paraphrasing, said you had 2 minutes and you screwed it up. You had 2 minutes. He was livid, and he benched them.
All right,
and
they didn't play the next two power plays.
Good.
That's right.
Good for him.
I actually, I wrote about this. I know you read it. In ESPN.com, I featured Sammy in my Thursday column.
Yeah, exactly.
And I referred to it as a 2-on-9 that would make my beer league team blush at yielding. Because we would be embarrassed at giving them up. But anyway, okay, that's another story. The Leafs play the Jets again this evening. This is Saturday afternoon, so we're looking at about 5.5 hours from now.
Yep.
Samsonov is going to get the cage again.
Yep.
I mean, you're not going to expect another 1-0 overtime victory here, but let's hope that he puts in a good showing. Win or lose, Jets are one of the better teams in the league right now.
Yeah.
So win or lose, let's hope he plays well, just as a hockey fan, not necessarily as a Leafs fan.
Agreed. And the Jets are hurting too with injuries, but they're one of the top teams in the NHL. Speaking of one of the top teams, if you listen, you can hear that Tampa Bay's actually doing well.
I know. There's no talk about
it. I mean, are you
it,
kidding? It's because it's Edmonton's doing their thing. Vancouver, Winnipeg, and Vegas is playing well, and the Kings are stink. They're terrible. Boston's playing well. My goodness. Where's this come from?
Well, they're also enjoying that narrative a little bit. They're like, the other day. They're like, nobody's talking about us. We're 8-2 in our last 10, and like a true 8-2. Right?
Yeah.
We're 8-2 in our last 10 and nobody's talking about us, blah, 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 blah. And I think they're going to continue to enjoy that. This is, again, one of those situations where they hit skids, different stretches earlier this season where they did not play very well. I still don't think that they're the same team that hoisted the cup twice. I don't. But they're still proving that when you have players on your team like Braden Point and Steven Stamkos, and Kucherov.
Oh, who? Sorry, what?
When you have players like that and you still have one of the best goaltenders in the league and you're still coached by one of the best coaches in the league, you're still going to make a go of it. They're going to come back to earth a little bit too because there's always ebb and flow. I mean, we've already seen it happen more than halfway through the season. We've already seen, you know, some teams soar to the heights of the sun, and they're coming back down. And now the Tampa Bay Lightning are having their soaring moment. And it's great to see. I have no complaints with this whatsoever, but we are not giving it a lot of attention. You're absolutely right.
No. And they have 47 power play goals. They lead the NHL in that. That is kind of, I'm not saying an underrated stat, but I would not have thought Tampa Bay leads the league in power play goals, but they do with 47. Speaking of Kucherov, him and MacKinnon battling 1-2 for the Art Ross, maybe battling 1-2 as well for the Hart Trophy. They've both been just absolutely flying. And where would Tampa Bay be without Kucherov, especially lately? I don't know.
He's one of the smartest playmakers in the league. Top three. I think there's no question of that. The way that he sets up his teammates, it's astounding, actually. He's just brilliant out there all the time. Never mind the physical attributes.
He's got a very big brain. He's so smooth.
And his sense of anticipation, you can already see, and you hear that about the best players, that they're not even thinking a play ahead. They're anticipating two plays ahead already. Yeah. He has been absolutely amazing for them. The power play stat concerns me a little bit, because you always like to gauge the true quality of a team, because special teams can be fixed here and there with some tweaking usually. You usually like to gauge a team on how they produce 5-on-5. And the fact that they're getting so many points. I also don't like the fact that they are so much better at home than away. Away, they're 10-13-2. That's very bad.
Yeah, it's not good.
And at home, they're 16-5-3.
That's a big discrepancy.
That is. So we'll see how that works out in the next month and a half. Getting back to MacKinnon and Kucherov, though, I was thinking about it the other day. It's like the old
It's my crush, MacKinnon.
And we will get to your crush second. You just hold on there, Ryan.
I can't.
But these two going at it, reminds me of the Irving Berlin song from Annie Get Your Gun, whatever you can do, I can do better.
Yep.
So because one of them will go out and score a goal and register 4 assists, which MacKinnon did just recently. Yep. And then Kucherov will come out and score 2 goals and register assists. And they're just going back and forth. And it's almost like that routine from Annie Get Your Gun. Whatever you can do, I can do better. And they continuously try to one up the other, I should say.
Yeah.
And I think it's so fun to watch. And I don't care who comes out on top.
No, I don't either.
I want this to go down to April, and I want them to go back and forth. I want to see some record numbers. I want to see a record race for the Hart, for all of it. Yeah. I think it's going to be really exciting. I hope they stay healthy. I hope they continue to produce at such a tear. It's a big ask, but I think it's really entertaining.
That race for the Hart, if they're up for it, if they do it, that's going to keep the pulse rate up for sure.
Oh boy.
Patrick
Waugh. No, to quote DB, King of puns.
I worked on that for the last 10 seconds. When we last did this, we were shocked and still kind of amped to see Patrick Waugh behind the bench with the Islanders. It's still odd. They're 1-2 in the 3 games. He won his first game. You have down in the lineup not working miracles yet. And we spoke again before we came on. The team just isn't good. The team still is not very good. It's not the coach. The team is the issue.
I think that's the largest problem. I think they're very much a middle of the pack team.
Right.
That plays in a market that has bigger asks than watching a middle of the pack team. I think the Islanders, because of their storied history, especially in the 80s, you know, just garners and, you know, attracts a lot more attention than maybe another team would when they're not playing well. It's still a league of stars for me, Ryan. And they just don't. Matty Barzal. Okay. the guy in Nets, Rokin's pretty good, you know, but even out of that, it's just like you're rooting for Kyle Palmieri to score for this team so they can stay in a game. And that's not fair to Kyle Palmieri, who's a very good hockey player, who has been a good hockey player, but is a little bit older, a veteran, been around a long time. And to actually, you know, load that sense of responsibility on his shoulders to contribute every night, because they kind of need that. So I don't know what miracles Patrick is going to be unraveling here, but I'm not optimistic.
None. And you mentioned Sorokin. How often has Elias Sorokin been spoken of this season? I haven't spoken much about him, especially. I mean, he's one of the best. I think he was my pick to win the Vezina going into the season because he's one of the best goalies, but the team is just not very good. So you bring him in. If Patrick Waugh wants to do whatever, put his blueprint on it for the rest of the season, that's fine. He comes back next year, start afresh. But to me, there's no way that this team is gonna keep moving forward.
They don't have the firepower. And there's only so much defensive hockey you can play.
Yeah.
Especially without Ryan Pulock in the lineup as well. They've also been without one of their better defenders essentially the season.
Yeah.
So that's been tough as well, for sure.
Yeah. I always find it funny to, when you talk about the Isles, Pelech, Pulock, Pulock, Pelech. Yeah. You can get so, I mean, of all the team, can you just spread out the guys, put them on New Jersey and keep them on the New York Islanders, something like
hey,
that?
Hey, listen, we could have two Sebastian Ajos playing for the same team.
That's
you know how
true.
Confusing that would be?
Yeah.
So I'll take my Pelech, Pulock, Pulock,
yeah.
Pelech.
No, done. There's one always interesting in sports, and we've seen this a lot in the NHL. In a contract year, I know Sam Reinhart's playing on a very good team, but he's having one heck of a season, and it's going to be an expensive one for the Panthers when they re-sign him. He's in the last year of a deal that pays him $6.5 million. He is absolutely on fire. The Panthers are playing extraordinarily well. It's basically a 1-2 race between them and Boston for the top spot in that division. But man, he is going to get a lot of money with that new contract. Are we
if
talking?
I was running a team right now,
yeah.
I would only sign my players to 2 to 3 year deals.
Right.
I will not renew them a year ahead of time. They are playing out that final year. Now, of course, you know, you can't really operate that way. But at the same time, there does seem to be, we've just watched what happened with William Nylander with the Toronto Maple Leafs, who was, you know, came out, you know, like a firecracker to start the season and then signs his mega deal and has been more quiet of late. He's going to be fine. William Nylander is going to be fine. But it's just been funny. I think there's a lot of fans out there who are, while they're admiring Sam Reinhart's total of 36 goals, only three behind Austin Matthews. And we talk about Austin Matthews scoring
all the time.
Every day.
Yeah.
So, but I think there's a little bit of frustration too, because it's when Sam Reinhart came into the league, this is sort of what you expected from him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would show little bits and pieces of it throughout his career.
Right.
With different teams, Buffalo I'm thinking of right now.
Yep.
And then he wouldn't. So it's like, oh, thanks a lot, bud. So now you got it going on. You know what I mean? Like, it's just because you want to get paid, but he is going to get paid. He should get paid. We'll see who pays him.
Okay, so what are we thinking before we leave this?
Oh,
6.5. I mean, based on the season, I would think no less than 9. That's where I think he's going.
Do you think they could get away with an 8.5?
I don't know.
I wonder.
That's only a 2. That's 2 more than he was making at 6.5. I think it's got to be north of 3. I really do. 9.5. 9 or 9.5.
Okay, but my issue here is there's no heritage of this.
I know.
Right? Like, you can't just go, okay, you're having a great year. He had 31 goals last year. 31 goals is pretty good.
It's very
good.
That's good, but
he has 36 now.
Yeah, I know.
So this is very different. He scored over 30 twice. And he's been in the league for almost 10 years.
Yep.
He's only scored more than 30 twice. He's always been good. So I don't know if you can give him great money. How do you give him great money when he's having one great season and 8
but
good
seasons? Isn't good money like 9 these days? It seems to me good money is 9.
That still feels a little bit hefty to me.
Okay.
I think term is going to play into this as well.
Sure.
Right? He's 28. If he can get an 8-year deal in Florida, which would surprise me, to be honest. But if you could, that's now bringing you to 36, 37.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The one thing we do know is that he'll make more than 6.5. So we'll leave it at that. That's easy.
Oh, that goes without question.
I know. Yeah. I was trying to be funny.
Right.
But obviously that went right through. Okay. Let's continue on. Speaking of,
good
Vic
one,
goes right.
Ryan.
Vic says right as in that was not funny. That was her way of saying no. Owen, thanks. Oh, I'm hurt. Owen Tippett, 8 years, 49.6, AAV of 6.2. He's 24. Good deal. He's having a great season. The Flyers are not doing so well right now, but the fact is he's got paid and he's going to be there for an extended amount of time.
This is a good young player that's going to, if I believe, going to prove to be an excellent bargain in about 5 or 6
too.
Years.
Yeah, agreed.
With the direction the cap is heading, I think they were very smart. I think this is one of the smartest things the Flyers have done. I'm not saying that disparagingly, like they've done a whole bunch of other horrible things, but I'm just saying I was really impressed with them locking up now. You have him for his prime. Mm-hmm. This is a kid who can go out and give you 22 minutes as a forward in all situations.
Yeah.
He's got it all. I like, he's got the spunk too. Can get into a little bit of trouble here and there too, but he's a dynamic. He can score. He can play make. He can do it all. He can kill penalties. He can play on the power play. He can do whatever you want. And the fact that he's responded so well to John Tortorella, I think, speaks volumes as well.
That's a good point.
I mean, if you can play for Torts.
Yeah. You can play for most.
Play for anybody. But responding well, too.
Right.
Like, he
right.
isn't easily cowed, is my right. point. So, yeah, I like it a lot. It's just unfortunate now watching after the Flyers really made a good go of it in the first start to the first half of January, really. And we all now started talking about them as a playoff team.
Yeah.
Starting to come back down to earth a little bit.
Yeah, they've lost four in a row. And as of us doing this right now, they're already on the ice against the Boston Bruins. And Boston is playing very good hockey again. And if you look at the losses that they've had, these ones have not been, you know, 1-0 games. 7-4, 5-3, 6-3, 3-0.
They're giving up a lot of goals.
Right? So there's a ton. So in those four losses, they've scored, if my math is correct, they've scored 10, and they have given up 21. So 21 goals in four games, what's that? An average of 5 point something, right? Just over five a game.
It's an average of a lot. It's an average of 20.
Vic is much better in math than I am. Let's just go to the obvious. That's a lot. All right, we'll see.
We're going to get into this a little bit more in the second half, very, very briefly, but don't take anything away, or any weight away, I should say, from the loss of Carter Hart indefinitely. I think not in the fact that you don't have one of your goaltenders who has performed rather well for you lately, and now he's out indefinitely for personal reasons. Again, we're going to get a little bit more into that later, but also just a bit of a little air out of the balloon. You know what I mean?
No, fair enough.
Right? When you lose a teammate like that who's been playing well under such circumstances.
Yeah, that's well put, and it's tough. That's a hard loss for the Flyers, again, for the reasons that everybody knows about, but we'll continue on with that. All right, that's the East. We'll go West. We'll talk McKinnon. Fantastic. Can't wait. Forget the break. Let's just go right in. No, I got to wait to talk about McKinnon. Also, the LA Kings. What is going on? It is the newest edition of Pucks and Seven.
How much more you smile when you talk about it.
Oh, I'm blushing. No, it's just the lighting. Vic, be quiet. Pucks and Seven, we'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
We are Pucks and Seven. That is Ryan Payton, and I'm Victoria Matiash. And I will mention it is Saturday, January 27th?
Yes.
27th? It's definitely Saturday, I can tell you that right
now. It's the 27th, yes.
It is the 27th. The Boston Bruins and Philadelphia Flyers are already underway, and surprise, surprise, the Boston Bruins are already up 1-0. I only make mention of that, Ryan, because we never do this when there's actual NHL action on.
Yeah, it's like live updates.
We rarely do it in the evening.
Yeah.
And we rarely do it on weekends.
Right.
So I'm sort of enjoying that there's some actual hockey going on.
Yeah.
What? We should do this a little bit more often.
If there was a full slate of one, that would be even better. Like, say there were five games of one.
Right.
Right.
That would be even better. So I'm going to push for more of that. I'm also going to push for doing this more with beers. Sometimes, someday you're going to let us do that.
Ab-so-schmutely. There you go.
So we just flew through the East, talked about a whole bunch of goings on there.
Did we fly through the East?
We talked about, I know you think it was a little
more
bit
like
long.
a cruising altitude.
I think we talked about a lot of different subjects.
We did. No, we didn't.
And also, everybody has a fast forward button. If they get bored of us, they can move on. So now we're going to take a zippier tour of the West. I already promise you that.
Yeah.
And we're going to start with your boo in Colorado, Nathan McKinnon. So you're a big fan of his. Who cannot be? We don't even have to say much about this because we talked about this when we were talking about Kucherov and the fact that the two of them are trying to they're out-dueling each other right now and how super fun it is. But just generally speaking, and I saw some analytics the other day, I'm not hugely into it. They are very helpful. I'll let other people do all the mining and put all the arithmetic together and I'll just read it and appreciate it.
Yes.
But there were some ratings where he basically, you know how there's in the NFL, there's a quarterback rating and you can have a perfect rating, even though you miss some passes because it's graded on a slope, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there were some ratings that applied to Nathan McKinnon in some parts of his game where he was actually perfect. Nobody's perfect, but he was at 100%. And just to speak to, we were talking about if there is one flawless individual in the NHL, we spoke about this earlier this week, he's probably the closest to it.
Where do I begin? I already talked about him in the first segment. Why I wanted just to quickly bring it up again, or why we have it in the West, is the battle for the Hart and the battle for the Art Ross are two different races, right? A lot of times, if you win the Art Ross, more than likely, well, with McDavid, you end up winning the Hart Trophy. But even if he didn't win the Art Ross, McDavid's an incredible hockey player. But the whole thing for me is this MacKinnon and Kucherov. I mean, who is most valuable to their team? Is it going to say they're one point out of each other after game 82? Say MacKinnon has 120 points, Kucherov has 119. Who do you give the MVP to? Because it has to go to one of those two, I believe. Both teams make the postseason, let's say. Who would he give it to?
Oh, I don't think there's any question right now. This is a two-horse race.
Okay.
And this is, you know, full respect to Pastrnak and Matthews.
Who has one leg up on the other? Who has one leg up on the other? Or does anyone have one leg up on the other?
Right this second,
yeah,
I'm still going to say MacKinnon.
Me too. Okay.
Right this second, that can also change.
Yep.
I don't think either one of these teams enjoy anything near the degree of success that they are enjoying, will continue to enjoy without that particular figure. There's just something a little bit more. Nathan MacKinnon strikes me as more of the engine that moves the team. Whereas I still think there's some figures in Tampa. Steven Stamkos is the first that comes to mind. I don't think the Lightning are the same without Steven Stamkos. Whereas if you take Nathan MacKinnon out of the lineup in Colorado, they're a very different team. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and Rantanen has been fantastic as well. But really, that's almost like a two-player show in Colorado as well.
Yeah. One of the best criteria to decide the MVP is, if you, to your point, if you take them out of the lineup, are they a much different team? Like Draisaitl, McDavid. If you take McDavid out, yes, they're a different team, but Draisaitl is still pretty good. If you take Draisaitl out, yet they're still fine with McDavid. So who do you give the MVP to? But
that's the value, right?
No, I understand.
That's the whole definition of value. If you remove it, is it worse?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. So. Zach Parise signs with the Avalanche. What do you think about that one?
I was not expecting, this is not on my January bingo card at all. I mean, when he finished up with New York last year, played an entire season, and he said, I'm either re-signing here or I'm not. Incredible career, by the way. I remember, like, he's one of the few players that we're still talking about that was playing when I started my career.
Right.
Like, he was already there. Everybody else has come since. That just, you know.
2005, 2006. That's when he first started,
That's right. And I started with ESPN, I started in 2007.
There
you
go.
So there you go. So he was already there. And an incredible career, still very famous for signing that contract that you cannot possibly sign today, and did change the look at the next.
And it was the same one as Ryan Suter.
That's
right. Yeah.
Minnesota boys. Minnesota boys stick together. They do.
Yeah.
So anyway, he has now signed something with the Colorado Avalanche. It doesn't. Okay, you know what? Let Jared Bednar speak to it before I do.
When it comes to his habits, they're elite, a lot like Cogliano in that, you know, an older guy that's been around, great leadership. I think you take his reliability. He's played 82 games the last couple of years. It's because he takes care of himself off the ice and has those types of habits that we really like. And he chips in offensively. He does a great job as a trusted guy on the defensive side. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll get him in here, see what he looks like with our group, and we'll make a decision.
So this is not a consummated marriage yet, is how I would phrase it.
No, it's not.
It sounds like there's going to be a little bit of a feeling out period. If I want to run with that analogy, they're still dating seriously. I know there's something put to paper here, but they're dating seriously for now. They're going to see if he does fit in, because Zach Parise is old.
Yep.
Zach Parise has not played since last regular season. Oh, well, yeah, spring anyway. And it's a fast league now.
Yeah.
And he was having a difficult time keeping up last season when he played. However, Parise is in very good shape. He's got that veteran leadership to bring to the team. There's some holes on the Avalanche right now, particularly with Nishushkin out. And these are two different players, but we're just saying a prominent figure is missing from the lineup. Yeah. So you know what? Roll the dice. I still like the fact, though, that Parise said New York or bust.
Right.
And then now he's bored.
Right. It's $825,000. It's nothing compared to
$11 million for 1,000 trillion years.
Yeah.
Parise's doing just fine.
It's absolutely fine. I think it's fine. It's a low risk, some type of reward. I'm not going to say high reward, but it's a low risk, whatever reward. And Colorado doesn't really need to make any changes, but I think it'll be okay. It depends. But yeah, you're right. He's not the player that he used to be. The league is not how it used to be in 05, 06, and even in 15, 16. 10 years after he came into the National Hockey League. But the Avalanche and Jared Bednar seem to be, I like it. I don't mind it. It was a shock, but yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
They rolled the dice on Jonathan Drouin. A lot of people told them they were cuckoo bananas, and that's worked out really well so far. Drouin is fitting in really well in that lineup.
Yeah,
so I'm not, they're different players. Drouin is way younger than Zach Parise is, but there's no risk here whatsoever if it doesn't work out. But you know what? Tuck him in on the third line, 12 minutes a night, second power play unit. Okay.
I look at this, you said about like the marriage kind of thing, whatever. I think it's a 90-day fiancé thing here. Because if you do the math, hold on, hear me out.
Yeah.
Just take your head off your hand and focus.
I hate those shows so
much. I know, but listen, if you take 3 months, say the end of April, whatever, that's 3 months. You have 90 days to figure this thing out. Okay, let's move on because that did not go over.
No, it works perfect. I just hate the show. It works perfectly well.
Okay. Connor McDavid out, of course, the favorite to win the Calder going in. Broken jaw, he's out.
Connor Bedard.
Connor yes. McDavid, imagine.
Connor first McDavid's time I made, amazing.
First time I made that mistake about the Connors. There we go.
It would be amazing for him to win the Calder. I know he's a really good player.
And if he wins it with a broken jaw, that would be phenomenal.
Right.
There's other guys, though, that potentially could win it. And I think this is great because, again, Bedard was the lead guy and hands-on favorite to come into the league and win it. But what about Brock Faber?
I mean,
he's pretty good.
What about Brock Faber? And I've written about Brock Faber quite a bit in the last couple of weeks for good reason, because he's producing as well. So Brock Faber is a defender with the Minnesota Wild, for those who are not familiar. Brock Faber is now second in the point standing behind Connor Bedard, who is unfortunately out still for several weeks with a broken jaw. And this is unfair. I think we all understood. Life isn't fair, though, right? I think we all understood earlier this season that this was Connor Bedard's prize to lose if he played a healthy full season. But you know what? He took an elbow to the face. I know you think it's a shoulder. It's a shoulder, but I still think it was predatory. It doesn't matter. That's the subject for another day. And he's out now with a broken jaw for several weeks. And Brock Faber, meanwhile, as a rookie defender with the Minnesota Wild, is logging almost 25 minutes a night, is sitting second in points with 29 in 48 games.
Yep.
He's anchoring the top power play for a Minnesota Wild team that still does not count themselves out of this, despite the fact that they're lower down in their division. We'll get to that in a minute. Brock Faber now, in my mind, is the leading candidate for the Calder, is he not?
It would be hard to argue against that, yes. It would be hard to argue against that. The age that he's at, what he's doing, bring up a good point about Minnesota. They kind of remind me of Nashville, just kind of what is this team? They're still hanging on, but they do think they can make it, all this type of thing. I think it's great because, put it this way, even if Bedard was still playing, he would have more points, obviously, than he did when he broke his jaw. And Faber may not be getting as much discussion as he is right now, but I think it's very, very worthy of the discussion. I certainly would give him my vote if I had one. Absolutely.
If you're going to assume, and you know what they say about assumptions, but still, let's just project he continues on somewhat on this path in some rhythm with what he's, and he stays healthy as well, because that's always a concern.
Yep.
I don't think there's going to be much question of it. Would it have been Bedard's? Of course.
Yeah.
He's not playing still for weeks. He's not playing for weeks, Ryan. So Brock Faber, who was picked 45th overall in the 2020 draft. And I think a lot of other teams are now. And I look at some of the names that were picked in the second round.
Yeah.
I recognize five.
Yeah.
Maybe. Luke Evangelista is one. The rest of them is. And this is 2020. We're not talking draft 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So you want to talk about a gem. So great for the Wild to have this kid in their mix for a long period of time, because he can do it all. Last bet, he's a +4 on a team that I believe is a -16.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
Right?
Yeah. No, if he continues that, Brock is not going to fall out of favor with the Minnesota Wild.
That was so good.
Oh, I've got more. Let's go.
Brock Corey Perry is not going to fall out of favor. I'm stealing that.
I was
going
to say you can use it for one of your articles.
I am. It's done. I'll credit you. No, that might be your finest showing ever.
You think?
Yeah, that was really good.
And some of the ones I do with you, I mean, most of them I don't know, they shock you, but that one was actually a good reaction. It was like, oh yeah, that actually, okay. Not some of the crazy ones.
They're not going to fall out of favor.
Edmonton has won 15 straight. Yep. Sip up. They won 15 straight, obviously trying to make it 16. The record 17 held by Pittsburgh. If they get 17, they get 18, all that type of thing. Corey Perry expected to play on Saturday. Who's to say that this team can't win the next few games? And the one thing I've talked about narratives in the first segment, especially about the whole, oh, you know, the track record, all that thing, and then just different hits and stuff like that that I was talking about. But with Edmonton, if it doesn't matter to me that they have played maybe against some weak opponents in the last 15 games. It doesn't matter. If you win 10 in a row against whoever, wow, 15 is an incredible feat. So anybody who says, oh, they beat so-and-so, they're not very good, it doesn't matter. It's a hockey game. It's 2 points. You've won 15 straight games. You have won 30 points out of 30 that have been available to you in the last 15 games. So don't tell me who you're playing against. Now, if you played 15 straight against San Jose, it may not be as impressive, but you know what I'm trying to say.
That would be a bit of a glitch in the schedule, eh?
You think? Straight games. Hey, schedule maker, why are we playing San Jose 15 straight?
I think we have an error here. Yeah. No, you still have to win the games. And we watch the games all the time where the Mighty Mighty Avalanche lose to the Chicago Blackhawks. You can still, they're all professional hockey players. I think that only works in a small sample size. Like recently, Seattle lost 4 straight after they had won a bunch in a row because it was tough opponents compared to who they were playing. And also, right. Seattle is not the Edmonton Oilers.
No.
Of course, you have to admire this. I like them getting the 16th. They're playing Nashville a little later on today. I think that's very winnable. It's absolutely no slam dunk. Nashville's right. a hockey team that when they actually just had a really nice come from behind victory the other day. And any team that has Philip Forsberg on it, who's healthy always, and uses Saros in net, always not going to be an easy task, but beatable. All right.
Yeah.
My concern is the big long break. They're off, and I was actually talking to Mick on Under Review about this on Friday. The fact that they're, you know, most of these players are not going to the All-Star break. They're heading with their families down or their girlfriends down to Cabo, or doing what their thing. And so they should, because the Edmonton Oilers have almost 10 days off.
Right.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
And that's a long time to have a couple of margaritas, fall out of a little bit of rhythm. I'm not saying that they're irresponsible. They're not. But everybody needs to unwind. And they're going to have the chance to unwind. But are they going to come back feeling, now that you've disrupted this winning rhythm, and you're coming back and your very first game is against the Vegas Golden Knights,
mm-hmm.
which is not a gimme, not the way Vegas has been playing again these days. So that will be the truest test. 16 against the Predators, I like their chances. I'm very worried about 17 against Vegas, and we are going to have to wait almost a week and a half for it.
It's going to end at some point. It's going to end at some point.
So no, Ryan, they will win again forever and ever.
You can
ever
run the gauntlet. They won the last 45 straight games. It is unbelievable, the turnaround with this team. Anyway, Corey Perry expected back on the ice. So from one team that's doing incredibly well to one that is absolutely not, you're given two gimme games. You're given a game against Buffalo and a game against San Jose after a win against the Rangers 2-1. And you're given those games by the schedule maker against two of the poor teams in the NHL, and you can't find a way to get it done. Question now is in LA concerning the Kings, and Rob Blake is adamant about this. He's been spoken to about it. Todd McClellan's been talked to about it as well. Hey, you feel under pressure, all this type of thing. The LA Kings are out of third spot in that Pacific Division, and they're going south. So how many days does McClellan have left? I'll tell you this, if they don't win against the Blues and the Preds coming up, changes will be forthcoming.
I don't think they have much of a choice.
No,
and I think it's unfortunate because I think Todd McClellan, I don't think anything. I've heard from very many people in the know that Todd McClellan is a good coach. This team played amazingly to start the season under the same coach.
Especially on the road. Yeah.
There's two things that are blatant to me about this team, and I don't think either one of them falls on the head coach. The goaltending, they really needed Phoenix Copley to stay healthy.
Right.
And spell off and be the Phoenix Copley that we saw last spring that showed signs of becoming a very legitimate number two in this league. And unfortunately, he's hurt. He's out for the rest of the season. And now you're expecting Kim Talbot, again, we've talked about this, to play way more games than he has wired and been wired to play for many years now. He looks gassed. And is there that acquisition of Pierre-Luc Dubois is just not looking good at all. And I think they were counting on a lot more from him. I even wonder if maybe his lackadaisical performance, because he is, you look out there, he's just, the stride isn't there. the effort isn't there. And I wonder if that's even bringing down the rest of the team as well. So, sure. I mean, you can't fire the team, right? So what do you
Another
do?
Another narrative make, I can't stand, but it's
I know,
true.
I don't care for it either. It's a cliche that we're used to, but it's also true. You can't fire the team. You can't.
No, you can't.
Too many people, right? You can get rid of a couple. You can't get rid of all of them. So who do you get rid of? You get rid of the person that unfortunately maybe the charges aren't listening to anymore. Yep. And I think it's kind of sad.
When they lost those 8 games in a row before they broke it against the Rangers, winning 2-1,
I know the Rangers are struggling, but still. Right.
6 of the 8 were decided by one goal. So those are tough. It's not like they were blown out 5-0, 6-1. Those are tougher losses to me than losing 8 in a row. Oh my gosh, we were in those hockey games. But then the last 3, they've lost 5-1, 5-3, and 4-3. You lose 4-3 San Jose. And I know we joked a bit about Edmonton if they played 15 straight against San Jose. I'm going to say this again. These two games are critical for the future of Todd McLellan in Los Angeles. The future of the Calgary Flames to war the postseason, their march to war the postseason. I'm telling you, I just don't see it happening. And this has nothing to do with Edmonton playing so well. There's so much missing with Calgary. You mentioned about Pierre-Luc Dubois just kind of floating out there. And what's he do? There's this malaise with the Calgary Flames. They just don't seem to be, they're not the team that I thought they would be, put it that way.
When they lost to Columbus the other night,
uh-huh.
I believe the score was 5-2 in favor of the not so mighty, mighty Blue Jackets.
Right.
That's when I raised the white flag. You know the soft spot I have for this team.
I know.
I have for a long time. Rooting for them. I'm allowed to root for them. But I can still speak the truth about them.
Sure.
And they're not there. That loss was it. I took off the jersey. I raised the white flag. We're done. Now you're at a point, and it makes me sad. It does make me sad. But I don't care. I don't want them now. Let me rephrase. If I was a Flames fan, I don't want them now to win the next 7 out of 8 and tease everyone.
That would be the worst thing
and
to happen to this
sudden,
team.
You're buying at the deadline. You're not selling at the deadline because you got a shot now because you don't have a shot. Yeah. You cannot beat Vegas, Vancouver, Edmonton, never mind just other teams in the Avalanche, Dallas. You're not on
the same level. No.
I'm not saying tear it down to the studs because there's still some very good pieces there that could remain there for a good period of time. Okay. You're not doing the massive tear down, but right now you got to look for a spot for Lindholm. You got to look for a spot for Tanev.
You do.
And you got to look for a spot for Hanifin. Yeah. And you got to get stuff back. And I'm not even speaking about draft picks. Draft picks are fine. You can throw in some draft picks to sweeten the pot. Great. Prospects who are ready to go in the next year or so.
Yeah, because you need pieces to pretty much play very soon, right?
And that's what you want.
Yeah.
Because this is
if
not
you're able to do it.
This is not the San Jose Sharks. It's not. Okay, this is still a team with some very good players on it, with a very good goaltender, should he want to stick around. And there's other pieces there as well that you want to band-aid it a little bit. Like sort of what the Rangers had done like 4 years ago instead of when they threatened to tear it down and didn't.
Right. They sent out that memo, didn't they?
Yeah.
To the fan
Sorry,
base.
Guys, we suck so bad.
We
it's
stink.
Over.
What was that? It's like Jordan sending a fax. Hey, I'm back when you returned. Anyway, no, I'm with you. It's hard to see.
Done.
Yeah, it's the mountain's too high, even now, I think, for the Calgary Flames to do that.
You never want to lay it on one game because it's too triggerish. But watching that Blue Jackets game, I'm like, they don't have it.
Yeah, they don't. The Blues, the Nashville Predators, those two teams are interesting. Minnesota even as well. They came back from being down 2 goals, second time in 3 games, and they have slowly come back now into the playoff picture. They beat Seattle 4-3. They trailed 3-1 in the second. They won their 4th straight. It's very crowded for that wild card spot. Are we believers in the Blues as of right now?
Nope.
Okay, moving on.
All of a sudden, Braden Schenn decided to produce a deckhand in the last couple of weeks.
Right.
He has had a dismal. This whole team can't run through.
But hockey's a streaky game. It's okay. Hockey's a streaky game.
Okay. they have two players who have been relatively consistent all season long. Jordan Kyrou, and he wasn't even to start. And then Robert Thomas has been good all season long.
Right.
That's it. The rest of the players, Buchnevich has been here and there, and he's had some injury issues and all the rest of it. But we're just not getting what we need from Brandon Saad and Kevin Hayes. And
I know.
Last couple of weeks, Braden Schenn fancies himself a productive fellow again, which he should be. And he is putting up incredible numbers right now. It's going to fall off a cliff as it always does. It's they're just, the Blues are, they're the Islanders of the West. It's exactly who they are to me. They're just, they don't have enough to do it, but they're going to give you these tastes. Once in a while, you're going to get six or seven games where you're like, wow, they can do it. And no, they can't. They don't have the personnel. They have some great players. They don't have enough of them.
That's what this does happen in sports in different leagues sometimes, that there's a team that, and it's the worst thing for a fan base. It's great to see your team winning 3-4 games in a row, but it's a terrible thing when you know that you're not going to go anywhere. Why are you playing well? No, play poorly because you're not that good. I don't know. It's crowded, though, that whole wild card race in the West. That's very crowded. Will it be by the time the 82nd game is played? Who knows?
I bet you, you know what? I bet you it is entertaining until the end.
Oh, sure. Well, I hope so.
You can smell it. With teams like Nashville, they never go away, right? And they're in there. And even the Blues are pesky. Like, there's going to be at least two or three teams left on the outside looking in that might still be in it mathematically in the last week. And I really hope so too, because it is fun.
Okay. Very quickly on this, the 2018 World Junior Hockey Team, the Canadian hockey team, some news, not so good news out of Canada concerning five players from that team. So those five players, they've taken leave of absences from their current teams in recent days, and that stems from the alleged sexual assault back in 2018, Vic, from members of that team. So the latest is that they have to report to London, Ontario, and they'll whatever next steps they have to take, they'll have to take.
They will. And this has been a story that has been unfolding for a long time now.
Yeah.
And I am going to put my news journalist hat on just to address this, because there are names that are floating out there that are connected to this case. And I think we can all, you can all look them up. The dots are there to connect.
Yep.
Absolutely. But I still think it's very important. They have not been named and formally charged yet. They've been asked to surrender themselves. So we'll see how this all unfolds. And now we're at a point where we have to wait for the wheels of justice to turn, because now this case is in the hands of the courts. It's essentially out of law enforcement. It's now it's left to the judicial system to deal with this, whether these five players, there's some sort of plea deal made, or maybe they want to take it to court, in which case we will be talking about this for years, not months, because this takes a long time. So let's handle this responsibly. Let's let the courts do their job, handle the situation. At the same time, also acknowledge that this is a problem in sports altogether. I'm not going to nail just the 2018 World Junior Championship team in terms of, you know, poor behavior, especially when it comes to this type of behavior. We're going to call her. There's one alleged victim so far that has been named. I'm sure there's other people involved, but one alleged victim respects her privacy, respects all the respect in the world, especially if she ends up being a victim and not an alleged victim. Kudos to her for speaking out about all of this.
Absolutely.
But we need to take a step back. We need to look at this properly. We need to support victims in all of these situations all of the time, because this is one of the most underreported crimes in the history of the universe.
No, agreed. So, agreed. And the investigation started in 2022 when, you know, Hockey Canada, they settled with the alleged victim, and then the investigation started. And now it's in 2024, and here we are. So I'm with you. All the players, no pun intended, involved in all of this, this happens just far too much. And it's just, it's very disturbing on every single level possible. So we will see how this unfolds in the coming weeks, months. Who knows?
This is going to take, there's a lot of layers to this story.
Of course, there's tons
of layers. It's going to take a long time. Yeah. And again, we all have to give it its due respect, treat it seriously, because it is incredibly serious.
Speaking of days, as we wrap it up, Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, has hit 11,318 days on the job as of today, this Saturday, January 27th. And as of this day, he is now the longest serving chief executive among the major North American professional sports leagues. Clarence Campbell was the president of the NHL from 46 all the way to 1977. It is unbelievable what he has seen. It's unbelievable what we have seen. The teams coming in, the revenues, the outdoor games, you name it, all the World Cups, Olympics, all this type of stuff. There's been a lot that's happened since Gary Bettman's took the helm.
What kind of rating would you give him in terms of like performance?
Here's the thing. I'm really bothered by a lot of the commissioners get booed, and he gets booed the most. It's commonplace. And Gary now is like, okay, let's go. Get the boos out of the way. And whatever. It doesn't. I'm going to answer it by saying this. If I was commissioner of any of the four major sports leagues, let's just put aside the other leagues, but the four major ones, it's a tough job. There is a lot of, speak about layers, there's a lot of layers you have to focus in on. There's a lot of different things you've got to put together. And I think at the end of it, Gary's done a lot of good for the NHL. He's done a lot of good for the game. Yes, there are things, like there is in life with any business and anything, you're leading it. There are things you're going to make mistakes with. It just happens. The unfortunate part about all this is that the mistakes are magnified so much because the NHL is so big. So put all that aside, he's a human being. You like him, you hate him, it doesn't matter. The game is where it's at here. A lot of it has to do with what Bettman's done.
I agree with you. You're such a softy. You're like, leave Gary alone.
Oh, yeah. Just let me get a tissue. Leave him alone.
He wouldn't still have a job if he wasn't good at it.
Right.
He's grown the game. He's gone through and managed labor unrest on more than one occasion, come out the other side. The league is growing. We're already talking now about Utah. We're talking about a 34-team league soon
and Vic,
enough.
In 4 years, there could be 36 teams.
Like, oh, we're no.
Like, it's,
I don't want to write about 36
teams. We're talking 36 teams.
I already jumped from 30 to 32 just in the last few years.
Baby
Can
steps.
Can we just give me a break? No, yeah. It's great. Of course, it's great. He's branching out. The league is more popular than it ever has been. That goes without saying. So, I mean, how can you say he's done a bad job? It's impossible.
And the best part about the game is the hockey is absolutely incredible. The play,
it's fantastic. The product talent on the ice is amazing.
Yeah,
no
it's
question.
It's the best in the world. Congratulations, Gary Bettman. And he's probably got a lot more years left to go at the helm of the NHL. We're out of time. We're gonna go back, and next week's a little bit different. Some traveling. We're gonna try to get one in right after, I don't know, maybe Thursday, for whatever it is. We'll look at that after the All-Star, well, before the All-Star break, I guess, or just after, yeah. And then we'll figure it out after
Thank
that.
Thank goodness so. We're wrapping this one up really cleanly.
Oh yeah, no, this is terrible. I'm gonna edit this thing out. The point is, just to rewind, is we're gonna come back at some point this week. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Mattiash. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Payton, at Victoria Mattiash. Get us on Instagram at PatesRP, at Mattiash Victoria, and catch us wherever you get your podcasts, also on the SiriusXM app. On behalf of Vic, I'm Ryan. Thanks for listening. We'll talk soon.
This has been Pucks and Seven, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.